Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. Tis the season for jolliness, stress, all these crazy things that happen at the end of the year. It just seems like we go along the beginning of the year, and when we get into that new year, everything is going to be new and better, and then we kind of go along in it, and I don't know what happens to December. It's like everything we either didn't do all year comes to a head where it has to be done. It's at an urgency. Or what happens is we think of all the things we forgot to do, and we try to squeeze them in December, and then we add all of the holiday festivities and everything, and our poor body and brain sometimes just don't talk to each other at all. And that the reason I started the show that way is because I have done so many readings this month of December so far, and everyone is lamenting about the fact that they just feel out of it. They feel either emotionally numb or mentally scattered, and I've even had mentally numb. And I want to just take a very brief moment and to come in and talk to you about this energy. And then today is a very special show. I do these once a month. It's Conversations with Carol. And what I do is I just basically for the full hour, I am going to be taking your calls and answering your questions about your health or anything that you have an interest in. I'm not real good about predicting the future because you don't know it. I don't know it. But what I'm going to be doing is taking calls, and we're just going to have fun today and take a deep breath and enjoy the time we have together. This is a very special time of the shows that I put on my calendar every month, Conversations with Carol. And so if you do have a question with me and we just want to chat and answer questions, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and Canada. And then also we have another number. It's 425-644-5620. That number is good for U.S., it's good for Canada, and it's good for international callers. So I hope you'll get on the line and start giving me a call, and we're just going to enjoy being with each other on the radio today. Let's get back to this energy. So many dynamics are taking place. The energy always at the end of every year is really the time for us to enter into that kind of that winter part, the winter solstice that starts in December 21st, that solstice part of it is for us to go in and to basically go into that hibernation. What that means is to go into that time where we can go and reflect on what we've done the year, what we didn't get done the year, what we would like to do for the year of 2010, and really just kind of like the winter part, just go still, just go quiet and go into that contemplative state. November leading up to that time is always the time where we get into maybe the holiday rush. But more importantly, it's when we start having all these things that have been inside of us energetically or emotionally or mentally and that is coming in or even physically that's been laying below the surface and is coming or lying below the surface and what is coming to the surface for us to really be able to decide what we want to do with that. Whether we want to resolve it or whether we want to continue to carry it. A lot of the energy that we're in right now is like the energy that I found I was in when I was in that death process, that transition. 3 days prior to that process, even though mine happened to be what we consider an accident, I remember back finding myself thinking about all the things that I've been doing that were urgent, but not doing the things that were really important to me. And that's what this time is about. What is important to you? What are you really good at? What is important to you? What is worth your time, your energy, your emotional energy, your emotional involvement to stay involved in order to carry it into the new year, the year of new beginnings? And every year is the new beginnings. 2010 is very different. We've been working toward this place for a long time in the evolution of human consciousness to where we literally, individually, in our own way, decided we really don't want to live our lives in guilt and live our lives in fear. So what we're doing is we're now coming in and saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And this year of 2009 has been bringing to the surface those parts of our lives that really where the guilt does drive our life or where the fear around survival or the fear of unknown or the fear of abandonment or fear of betrayal or fear of rejection, the great mother of all fears that seem to plague us that have so many other fears attached to them, are bubbling to the surface. And right now, the energy that we're working with, and logically from kind of the economic situation and the unknown, not only within our own sphere of influence, our own countries, but globally, is that we are caught into this part of survival. And in order for consciousness to be raised from this fear base that we've been basically living under and guiding our behavior and our activities and directing us, what we're doing is we're saying, I want to move beyond fear and I want to move back into a role where I have an enlightened life. What that means is where I can see what I truly desire, and I am in control of putting the processes in place to get me where I desire to go. So these things are bubbling to the surface. It's part of the process, whether it's the cycles of nature or the cycle of consciousness or just the human behavior cycle. We are entering into 2010, the year of resolve. I am going to do an actual full show on that in January. And what that means is all these things we become aware of this year, 2009, that are no longer serving us well, it is time for us to stand up and make a decision. Do we want these to be finished business, or are we going to continue to carry them? If we're going to continue to carry them, what can we do to change the energy, to change what we're engaged in to where it's not draining us energetically, keeping us emotionally off balance, or actually affecting our health? 2010, all these things that are bubbling to the surface that are creating mental or emotional chaos, you will take into 2010, but not because we're being punished, but the energy of 2010 supports getting closure to the things in your life. That means that we're being asked to set some very healthy boundaries. Now, some personalities, the green, don't like the word boundaries, so we can say, you know, it's setting guidelines for us. What is acceptable behavior in other people? What are we willing to compromise? What aren't we willing to compromise? The year 2010 is looking at each of these things that are bubbling to the surface and then putting together the commitment, the total body, mind, soul commitment that we are going to let this situation go in our life. And when we do, when we may not forget the situation, but we lose that emotional charge, we make space in our body, mind, and energy to be able to go in and to create new. And that's what the energy is in the preparation of 2012. While we read so much that it's the end of the world, if you were a student of the Mayan calendars, they're all about consciousness. This isn't the end of the world. It's the ending of the consciousness fear base that has kept us playing small or being unhappy or being discontent, having so much discontentment in our lives. This is the time of great change. But in order for that change to happen, we have to resolve and let go what is holding us back. So one of the things I've been sharing in the readings is that what I would like you to do is to go in as these things bubble to the surface. Maybe it's a relationship with a mother or a father or a sister or an aunt or someone in your family. Maybe it's a child. When these things are bubbling to the surface, keep notepads anywhere in your house that you can. Write down what surfaced. Feelings hurt. Need to get closure around my issue with my sister. Need to get control of my financial situation. All these things. Put them down on a piece of paper. Don't worry about doing anything with them right now. Just put them on the paper. Write down the emotion that's attached to it. Fear, anger, resentment, grief, disappointment. In those issues, what are you feeling? Sadness, sorrow. Write that down. Don't do any more with it. Just write it down. And then what you do is just go into that quiet hibernation of winter, that introspection, contemplation time, and you've identified what you choose to change. And in that quiet stillness within these wonderful spaces we create in that either busying our mind out or meditating or whatever, all of a sudden we start to get solutions. And we have options. And when those options come up around an issue, write it down on that piece of paper. Option, you know, tell my sister that no longer can she talk to me that way. It hurts my feelings. Just don't worry about it being eloquent. Just dump it out of you. And the more you do that, the more you'll find you will feel lighter, enlightened, is being lighter. It's where you think for yourself. You do things that are important to you and not urgent and demands of others. If you choose to do that, then be in control of it. So that's the energy. That's why we're having so much chaos now. That's why people are wondering, you know, what shoe is going to fall next. There's so many different expressions of this as there is individuals of each of us. But this is a time, allow it to bubble to the surface. What is bugging you? And then what emotion do you have around it? Because it's the emotions tied to the experiences that we are looking to resolve in the year of 2010 to prepare us for the energy of 2011, 2012, and well beyond that. So that I wanted to start out by sharing you with all of that. And so let's go in and just, you know, food for thought and ponder. It's a great time. Go back to the basics about the holidays, what is really important. And again, use this time for introspection. It is really a very healing time for us. So having said all that, if you're feeling like you're out of sorts, I hope that that offers a little bit different perception on what was going on. Let's go ahead and go on. And I want to take some calls. I'm very excited about this. Let's do Audra from Iowa, line two. Hi, Audra.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Did. You got it right. Perfect.
Woohoo! Good. Okay. How can I help you, hon?
I had a question about my five-year-old daughter. She has recently become very withdrawn from normal social activities that normally she loves to do and participate in. And I didn't know if where this is stemming from, if maybe if it's diet-related, if there's allergies or sensitivities that's playing a part, or potentially my upcoming pregnancy as well. Although she already has another sibling, so I wouldn't think that that would be part of it. But well, I didn't know if you have any insight.
Yeah, I do. I do. And what I'm going to do is I'm literally going to take it physically, emotionally, mentally, and that kind of energetic part of who she is. The first thing is, honey, she's an indigo.
Oh.
And one of the things with an indigo, if you don't know much about indigos, there's some wonderful books that Hay House has with Jan Tober and Lee Carroll. Doreen Virtue has one on feeding indigos. There's a lot of books that are being written now about the indigo children. And one of the things that's consistent with the indigo children is that they have digestive issues. The first thing that they have is it's difficult for their body to be able to work with fat. As a result, they tend to crave fat. They tend to be drawn to, I've seen indigos that literally want to sit down and eat a whole stick of butter. The fat that they eat in animal fat, they don't, their body doesn't digest it the way they need to. So with an indigo, and in the case of your daughter, what you'll want to do is you will want to minimize the amount of meat that she is eating. If you are going to have meat, you want meat that is very, very lean, meat that is that doesn't have a lot of marbling or a lot of fat in it. You will want, if you do are inclined, if she craves that, the red meat or meats that have the fat in it, you want to give her a very small amount and then combine it with foods that are complex carbohydrates that will give her the glucose that she needs, the energy that she needs.
Okay.
So that is one of the first things. We have to also look at milk. Whole milk tends to have a lot of fat in it, so there may be some things that you could cut back on milk on a 2% fat level or something like that. One of the things that I can tell you with your daughter is that she is actually feels to me like she's developing almost a lactose sensitivity. It's not a lactose intolerance, but when she does things that have cow's milk specifically, it tends to become sluggish in her system. And so you might want to evaluate that.
Okay.
There's a couple things you can do. Books are a great place to start to gather information. The other thing is you might look at a naturopath to be able to look at, you know, her kind of her overall makeup. You might want to look at a nutritionist. There's a lot of wonderful nutritionists now that you could probably find in your area. Go to a health food store, or if you have a local holistic bookstore, go to them. Ask them if they know of any nutritionist that, you know, has insight into what can be done with indigos. Ask those questions. So I get the thing where there's not an allergy to lactose, but there is an intolerance right now at this point in time. What that means is her body isn't using it the way that she needs to. Again, watch the fat. One of the things that she feels like she's low on is the serotonin. She's having some bouncing around. That may be what appears to be the withdrawal with the almost like a melancholy or a depression that it might be. So there's where your complex carbohydrates will help her. She really is the type of child she needs to eat at least 5 or 6 times a day, little small meals, little small treats and things. Yep, all of those things. If she could tolerate yogurt, you might want to look at doing a Greek yogurt. That would help her with her digestive system. While I'm talking to you, honey, I'm going in. I'm going, is she allergic to nightshades? Does she have any kind of allergy to wheat? I'm not picking up anything with corn fructose. Yes, she tends to be a little sensitive, but no more than any child. She does tend to have a reaction in her body when she eats foods that have like a natural flavoring or MSG or anything that isn't natural. Almost with her, while it may be more work for you, as pure as you can keep her diet organic, the less flavorings that are in there that are artificial, the better it will be for you. And the better it will be for her. Okay. But I think that will help with the serotonin aspect of what she's working with. The other thing is, because she's an indigo, she's highly tuned intuitively to this energy that is going on in kind of this, what I call the vibe male universe. And she may be noticing people are out of character. Maybe her friends are out of character. Maybe her best friend is not going with another friend, which is typical of children that age, but maybe her friend is moody. Maybe her friend is being hurtful to her. There's something that's going on with two friends in her life that are causing her to feel sad. So I don't know. Does she talk to you about that very much?
Not necessarily about her friends at all. She just says that she's there was an incident when she was in tumbling class where some other girl had a major meltdown wanting to be with her mom, and that really freaked out my daughter. And ever since then, would not even step foot in the room. And we can't even get her to resolve that. And I'm wondering if maybe that's what.
That's definitely one of the two. And again, the best thing I can say to you about your daughter, Audra, is everything that we may be sensitive to, hurt feelings or overreaction or emotionally volatile situations, whatever it may be, take that child from her perspective and look at it through the eyes of being tenfold or 12-fold or 20-fold. Everything that has this emotional charge to it is going to, she's going to feel very deeply, not just as a child, but as an indigo. Now, that's a good news, bad news I shared with you, sweetie. From the standpoint, it's good news she's an indigo, she's sensitive. The other part of it, the bad news is, what do you do with it? The best thing I can tell you is be her eyes and ears. When she comes to you and she shares something with you, or you notice that she's not quite herself, without sounding like you're interrogating, just ask her, you know, how is she feeling, what's she doing, what's new with school, what's going on. Get her engaged in the things that are really positive for her, and then it will come out what the issue is.
Okay.
The other thing is that she is very in her intuition. She's right brain oriented. She's very skilled at visual things. She's very skilled at comprehending information through the visual skills. For reading a book, she looks at the pictures. She listens to what is said. She tries to put the words with it. And if she's not being able to keep up in environments with her friends or even with tumbling, not learn something as quickly as she needs to, I can tell you also she's very much a perfectionist. So there's a lot of things about her that are fabulous qualities that will be the qualities that will make her strong and dynamic and be able to be the change she came here to be from the soul standpoint. But it's like walking into a world without a book to interpret what's going on, and that book that she doesn't have any way to interpret our emotions. Okay. She chose you, bless her heart, because you make decisions based on emotions. You've learned your own life and what works and what doesn't work, what boundaries need to be set. What you've experienced that has caused you great angst, I'm not saying go in and tell her about the birds and bees of emotion, but what I'm saying is when she comes to you, she wants you to be her eyes and ears, hon.
Okay.
And what she's doing is in this is that she's going to gift back to you, for you, especially at this time that I was talking about at the start of the show, she's going to ask you, Mom, what is important to you? Mom, what do you need to do? And what do you need to let go that's causing some of the guilt or the worry or the things in your life? There's truly things that we cannot change. And that's what she's, you know, sharing with you and what you're sharing with her. So it's a wonderful sacred contract you have with each other. I do understand the worrying, but this too will pass with her. So physically we want to look with, because she loves life. My God, she just loves, she loves new. She loves new things. She loves to try new things and to see if she can excel and so forth with it. That's what her whole life will be about. It's this insatiable curiosity she'll never grow out of as a child. So physically, let's work with a nutritionist. Let's look at how we can feed her more time, complex carbohydrates, manage the fat in her diet. That should help in some degree. Work with a nutritionist. You might want to go to a naturopath. They will do some either saliva or hair follicle tests to find out and be sure that she may not have an allergy, or she does have an allergy that I'm not picking up. And there's some things that maybe you can do there, some supplements and so forth. One of the things I can tell you about your daughter, she has magnificent eyes. Oh, my gosh. When I can put her vision in front of me, it would be like her looking into my soul with those very, very deep eyes. The whites of her eyes will tell you where she is physically. And if you notice that the whites of the eyes become yellow or they're bloodshot or any of the things, that means that something inside is bothering this child, either physically, emotionally, or energetically. So one of the things is that you can actually watch. You know, she has dancing eyes. They sparkle. When she's happy and engaged, they sparkle. When they don't sparkle, something's up emotionally. So there's actually some things that you can do from an observation standpoint.
Very interesting and very true.
Yeah.
I ask you quick, one last thing was with her, on her face on the left side, she has this red dot, but it seems to fade and brighten. And I didn't know if maybe that is playing a part with some of the food things that you had said, or if it's something that I don't even need to be worrying about.
No, actually what it is that it is something that just it probably is tied to this. And excuse me why I said probably. Probably what I'm picking up is, yes, it can be attached to the food thing that we're talking about. But the other thing is it might be part of a rosacea that she had when she was a little girl. It seems like if she slept on one side, that maybe it would become red. Her saliva would become acidic. So it can have something to do with the acidity in the body as well.
Okay.
And when I say rosacea, it's not something that's long-term. It just feels like it's maybe she's sleeping and she's drooling or something like that. You could certainly ask someone about that, but I'm not picking up anything that has any kind of energy that I would say to you, get her to a pediatrician and let's check anything.
Okay, that's perfect. Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time and insight. This will definitely help me move through this faster than I probably would have.
Well, my pleasure, and happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining me today. Let's go ahead and take one more call before I do a commercial break. Let's go back to Emily from Utah. I think, Emily, you came and you went, and you're back, honey. I love it.
Yes, I got through again. Thank you. I'm glad I got
you through
again.
You are so welcome. The people on my board, my producer and that handles the board, she is so good about people's names, whether they've called before or whether they come and they go and they come back. She's just she's a wizard at that. So
anyway. Good.
But
well,
okay,
I'm grateful.
Sweetie. Yeah, so how can I help you?
I'm also calling about my son, and I probably learned a lot from the last caller, too, because I've been told that I have two of my children. I have four. Two of them are indigo children, and I've always thought it was this one that I'm calling about. He's 6 years old. His name's Julian, and he's a very sensitive boy and just takes things really personally, and I'll just cry. Something upsets him, and he's always said a lot of times his stomach is upset ever since he was about four, and I've always wondered if there was some kind of allergy or sometimes I wondered if he was making it up just so he didn't have to eat, but he's so consistent that it seems like there's something really going on.
Yeah, there. So I'll go back and I'll do the same thing. From the actual physical part of it, his stomach tends to sour, and I think it's the souring that causes the stomach disorder. There's and I'm going to say disorder, and I'll flesh it out so you know what I'm really referring to.
Okay.
His stomach doesn't appear to produce enough hydrochloric acid that will help the food that he eats break down. There's a couple of things that go up from that I can go backwards from that to tell you. Number one is it's important for him to really chew his food. So okay. That means, you know, chewing, macerating, creating the saliva that is needed in order for him to break the food down well enough so when it gets into the stomach, the amount of hydrochloric acid, the pepsin, the bile, the parts that help break the food down actually come in and they break it down the way it needs to so his lower digestive system is able to work with the food that he needs to. So number one, we need him to eat slowly, chew. That means cutting the food up into smaller pieces. What you may do is give him smaller portions and then reportion him just so he will not kind of go through the food quickly. The other thing, because of this stomach and what I'm picking up with not enough hydrochloric acid in there, he's showing some symptomology of GERD, like an acid reflux or a burning in the stomach itself. What he is saying is not fabricated. There really is the dynamics in his stomach. It's not that it isn't manageable. It just needs to be looked at from the standpoint, from you as a mother, what can you do? Watch again the fat foods. They're hard for the body to be able to digest, even when we're, you know, midlife age. And then when we get older, we have the same problems we do as kids.
And he loves milk.
He does love milk. So what you might want to do is he does need, because his bone skeletal structure is in a place where it really needs to have the calcium. So we don't want to deplete him of the calcium aspect, but you might put him on a lower fat milk also. Does he do a good chewable vitamin?
We use the gummy vitamins. I don't necessarily like those, but they're more expensive.
Yeah.
But I do always make sure they have their vitamins.
Well, good. That's perfect. And, you know, again, look at the calcium level. There's a couple things is that he feels like he could use some magnesium. That can be, he can get that magnesium through a lot of the leafy green vegetables.
Okay.
There's a lot of things he doesn't like in green vegetables. I just got that one. You may have to be a little bit creative around the vegetable business with him.
Sure.
If you could get him to do green and orange fruits and vegetables, those would be really good for him. It will help neutralize his stomach. But again, what he has is he literally has a sensitive stomach. A couple things is anytime he gets into a situation, sweetie, I'll take it another way. Anytime he gets into a sensitive situation where emotions are being expressed, he believes that in the soul of who he is, his job is to make things okay. Either give somebody a hug or walk up to him and say, "This is okay." It's that humanitarian, that beautiful little Buddha that he is in his energy. When he can't do that, he literally feels it inside. That takes away his personal power. He recognizes, even at this young age, I can't solve the problem. I can't really help him. And part of his own personal work, and I have to be very careful, he's very open to me, but part of his work is to be a problem solver, but also to recognize at a very early age what problems he can solve and what he can't. And maybe the best thing he can ever do is be emotionally sensitive and then reach out and inspire someone or hug someone or do something. He feels like he has great mentor, psychologist energy about him. A great, you know, he could grow up to be a psychotherapist or a psychologist. He's just a doctor. He could be a great pediatrician. There's a bunch of energy. He's very intelligent. It's just that he's emotionally sensitive.
Yeah.
So from the stomach, look at it from the physical standpoint. What can we do to quell the thing with his stomach? It does become irritated. There is an emotional component to it. There's a psychological component. But more importantly, it really manage the foods he puts in his mouth and then listen to whether he says, "Oh, my stomach hurts," or not. If he doesn't, then he's either chewed or the foods are being digested the way they need to, and they're not irritating his stomach.
Now, my 4-year-old, who looks a lot more like Julian, he's starting to say that, too, that his stomach's hurting. But he may be doing it just to, he's just doing it because
it's just, you know, it's that part that is like, I want to just be like Julian.
Yeah.
And if Julian gets attention, then I want to just be like Julian.
That's what I figured.
Yeah,
but I always wasn't sure with Julian either, so.
Yeah, well, okay. No, and as a mother, we get all kinds of emotions that come in, and I will tell you, we cannot read our children accurately.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know, there's something about being a parent, and it doesn't make any difference. My daughter turned 40, I'm in the same place, I don't have a clue. And I do this for a living. But so the other thing is, but the other son, he feels younger. Is that accurate?
He is younger. Yes.
Yeah.
Four.
So what he's doing is he's going, you know, mommy's gonna, you know, has all these different things, and she's being distracted. And Julian, when he says his tummy hurts, works. And again, I know you're a good mother. I know that you hug your kids. But one of the things is that when he says them, the younger one says, "My tummy hurts," just snuggle him in and go, okay, so can you tell mommy how it feels and everything? And I'm almost sure that if you do that enough times, he'll stop saying it, or he's going to relate it to a hug, and then there's nothing really going on. I'm not picking up anything in his stomach like I did with Jillian.
Good. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome, and thanks for the tenacity coming back, and happy holidays to you. If the rest of my callers would please stay on the line, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to do some more phone calls. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me today. 'Tis the season for all kinds of things that are happening, a time for us to be able to get resolved, have things bubble to the surface, decide what we really want 2010 to look like. And that's what I would like to start by saying. What do you want your 2010 to look like? Now going in, better way for you to know what you want your 2010 to look like is to know more about your personality. And when I do my work with personality, I'm really not talking about that learned part of personality that drives so much of our life. I'm talking about how do you gather information and how do you make decisions. In order to create this new and this resolve in 2010, it's very important for you to know, do you make decisions logically or do you make decisions emotionally, meaning that they have to feel right? For those of you who make decisions that because they have to feel right, and you try to make them logically because maybe someone thinks that that you should do these things, whoops, those should be your red flags. So one of the great gifts that you can give yourself or others in your family or even your children to help them know themselves, the assessments that I have in my books are good to the age 13, anything below that, I'm in the process of creating something. But give them the gift of knowing who they are, and that's the gift of personality. I have four books. your personality, your health. What color is your personality? Love. What's personality got to do with it? And then also managing people. What's personality got to do with it? Each one of these books are great Christmas gifts. They have a full assessment. The person responds to statements. They come in with a name. They leave with a color. I teach personality by color, red, orange, yellow, green. And so what we do is, in that, if you know that you're a green, you're going to make decisions based on emotion. If you're a yellow or a red, you're going to make decisions based on a logic. And if you're a orange, they're going to be on emotion. And orange, you just want everybody to be happy. Greens, you do too. So the more you know about yourself, the more you are in control of being able to make decisions the way you're neurologically designed. What that means is it doesn't create the degree of stress when you operate out of who you are. So a perfect Christmas gift are my books. They have assessments, full details of each color. The books are available on hayhouse.com or amazon.com for that last minute Christmas idea, maybe a stocking stuffer. Give them the gift of understanding their personality. So last thing I wanted to share with you, I've got a granddaughter who has never been really interested in any of this that asked me, Grandma, would you stuff my stocking with managing people? Now, I need to tell you, she just got married, so I'm not sure if this is a good book or a bad book, and heaven help her new young husband. But I'm giving him a book also, so a great way to be able to do this. So, okay, let's jump in, and let's actually go to Marvell from California, line 3.
Oh, hi, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome. How can I help you?
Well, I guess what happened is my ex-boyfriend broke up with me in a way that I didn't expect. He just stopped talking to me, and I would have never expected this of this person. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, really hard.
Well, it is. One of the things, if I'm going to jump in, sweetie.
Sure.
Part of the energy that has been happening since October is affecting people's behavior, and people are really acting out of character. These can be people that are coworkers or friends or someone we live with where it's illogical or it just doesn't feel right. We can't figure out what it is because we don't have enough information. And when someone in your case stops talking to you, it's like you're trying to solve a problem and a whole bunch of problems and figure out what you've done or if you've done anything or what's going on with him. It's what I call mind crazy making, honey.
Yeah.
And the truth I can say to you is that, Marvell, you can't solve the problem, hon. You don't even know what the problem is, and you don't know where the problem is that created it. The only thing you can do is go in and look at yourself. And the first thing is, this is making you crazy mentally. You're spinning. It's like I pick up this metaphor, like you're spinning all these plates that were plates that he created. It's almost what it feels like, honey, in the relationship. Is it like it's like you had so much desire to please him, but he had so much desire to control you mentally and emotionally that he would drop things like, Marvell, I think you need to think about this, or have you felt this? Or, and it's like he would create all these plates, and like a circus clown, you're spinning all these plates, running from plate to plate, because they at the time they were created, it was important. But now it's like, I can't do this anymore. I don't even know what plates I'm spinning. I forgot. Or why are there all these plates? And the gift of this time is for you to go in and to say, in your heart, did you do anything that could contribute to this? And if you come up with a yes, for example, maybe you were out of character, go in and look at the circumstances. This isn't about talk therapy. It's not about going in and feeling bad about yourself. But it's going in and identifying what you possibly could have done to contribute to it. Then you can deal with it. The only problem you can solve is your own, honey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did. I actually, when he wouldn't take my calls, I emailed him, and then he just said that we're incompatible. Because what happened...
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that while it hurts right now, and it's got crazy making all in your field, what he said in that statement that you are incompatible is absolutely accurate. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Who you are and what you were looking for in the relationship. He gave it to you until it stopped serving him well. And no matter what you would have done, it would not have been enough. That's where I get these plates. The second thing is that deep down inside, and I don't know whether he's really thought about this, he has commitment anxiety. If you look at his past history with his family and with his relationship with other people, friends or other women in his life or you, he reaches a place when it becomes serious, he runs from anything, sweetie.
I agree with that. I know that of him.
So those are the things you are incompatible. You want to create this sacred space that both of you can feel comfortable sharing, being, doing, yet have some individuality. That's not what he was looking for. The other part of it is that it feels to me you make decisions based on emotion. He makes decisions based on logic.
Yeah.
When you would express emotions that this didn't feel right, it would cause his brain to tilt, and he didn't know what to do because he doesn't make decisions based on emotion. And his personality is such that to try to get into those emotions is very fearful for him. I'm not sure he knows what emotions are deep down inside. He will. We all go to that point in our life that we will. But from that standpoint, you want family. You want to have that close bond. You want to be able to have family, extended family. He does not.
Yeah. He's actually very close with his family. So I think he gets his emotional needs met by them.
Because they're familiar. But really, sweetie, let's step back. Does he really, you know him, does he really get his emotional needs, or does he get his emotional need patterns that he's established in his life with his family? Is it just the same pattern that's being fed? Is anybody in the family causing him to look beyond those emotional patterns that are set to really encourage him to go inside emotionally and look at himself? The answer that I pick up in the field is no.
Yeah.
And you created a wonderful opportunity for him to be emotionally safe. And it was nouveau, it was exciting, he was willing to go in and do that, and then something inside him made him afraid of that. And there's nothing you could have done that could have alleviated that fear, because this goes way, way back. The best I can say to you from this is to take his words that you're incompatible and work with those words.
Yeah.
What do you want from a relationship? What level of intimacy are you looking for? What kind of emotional connection are you looking for? What do you want from a communication standpoint? Because when he silenced you, he created one of the greatest fears you have, and that's the fear of rejection. And yet he won't even tell you why he's rejecting you. And then he fed another fear, that's the fear of abandonment, that you're all alone. But that fear happens to be your mother's. And do you have a sister?
No.
Do you have a close friend that's like a sister? It's kind of like a yaya sisterhood?
Yeah.
I can tell you the fear of abandonment belongs to your mother, and it belongs to your sister. That's not your issue, sweetie. While you may appear abandoned, you are not. You have been rejected, and you can't make sense of why you've been rejected.
Yeah. I mean, he did state some things in the email, but, yeah, I think what you're saying is very accurate.
Yeah. The things he said in the email was just, how can I say this? I really don't believe in his heart, as I can touch him through you, as you know him. I really don't believe that what he was doing was trying to hurt you.
No.
I believe what he was doing was identifying what was incompatible.
Yeah, he did that.
And the gift is, he laid it out what was incompatible. And if I go into your skin, into your field, one of the best things he did is to give you the opportunity to know, first of all, what you do want. He was very different than another relationship. He had a lot of qualities about him that you had asked the universe for. Those are the qualities that you want to put in your I desire list of this new person. But more importantly, write down the things that you do not want. And he told you in this relationship what they are. But you are actually sending a vibe mail out to the universe, whether you're aware of it or not, in the emotional struggle and this mental chaos that you're going in. You are literally sending messages to call someone new into your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not calling a man to take care of you. You're calling a man because you want a partner.
Yeah.
You want someone that you can be individual yet different. They can be individual yet different, but share the same values, have the same intimacy needs, have the same need around communicating. When you are dismissed from the standpoint of lack of communication, it pushes your rejection button, and it immediately sets you into a tailspin where everything you see that was wrong, you were the only one that created it. That's not the truth.
Oh, my God, what you're saying is so true.
It's just not true, sweetie. No. I honestly, you know, touching you, I'm going to pull out a box of gold stars. And when it comes to relationships and the sacred space you create and the opportunity for growth at all levels that you create in any relationship that you came here in your soul to do this work, I'm going to give you a gold star, lots of gold stars around relationships.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's just been hard. I would have never expected. I've never experienced anything like this in my life and would have never expected it.
Oh, yeah. You know, not to take away your uniqueness by any means. That's never my intent.
Yeah.
But if there's any comfort in that, you know, others are doing this, I have done so many readings the end of November, but more importantly in December. And, honey, there are so many of us, including me, that are like a deer in headlights. We cannot figure out what happened.
Yeah.
And we keep going back and we keep ruminating in our mind, what did I do? What did I do? What could I have done different? Da, 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 da. And it's crazy making, sweetie.
Yeah.
So go back to the heart that you are, the love that you are. Remember what's important to you. And you know what? This is one of the things I talked about at the beginning of the show. This is bubble to the surface, sweetie. This is the beginning of a desire, creating a relationship you truly, truly desire. To be sure that who comes in meets those job specifications.
Yeah.
But the old patterns of relationships, that fear base, that whole mantra around relationships, honey, you came here to change that. You have a chance now. You have a chance.
Yeah.
I do feel in your heart, I can feel it in my heart. Look at all the things that you have done well and get yourself a box of gold stars.
Uh-huh.
And you know, as I'm saying that to you, because of where I am, and so many of the people I did readings and others, listeners, maybe we need to go to a school supplies place today, everybody.
Oh.
And maybe we need to get a box of gold stars, because I'll tell you what, you gave me a great gift, Marvell. I need some gold stars after my name as well, sweetie.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So see, I always say I am very, very human, and look at the gift you gave me. So today, everybody, we're going to have retail therapy, as I call it. We are going shopping for gold stars. I'm loving it. We could do a pin. We could do a box of gold stars. We could do purses with gold stars. I think we all need to go shopping. Thank you, Marvell. You have a wonderful holiday season, sweetie. And again, wonderful gift for you to create. You've already sent the vibe mail out. Let's flesh it out a little bit, and let's put what you want and you don't want. Happy holidays to you. Okay, let's jump in. I've only got a short period of time, but I would really love to get Gail online. Hi, Gail, line 4.
Hi, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail. How can I help you, sweetie?
Well, I really appreciate your good word, and I'm feeling very stressed out. My hair is falling out, and falling out rapidly. I have been under a lot of stress for about 2 years, and I'm wondering what guidance you could give me.
Okay. The first thing is, when was the last time you had your thyroid checked, hon?
Actually, I just had some blood work done this week with my dermatologist. That's one of the tests. I'm still waiting for the results.
Okay.
But
okay.
One of the results that did come back is my iron is a little low.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The other thing is if your thyroid comes back what they call normal,
yeah.
Ask the doctor to tell you, is it on the low side of normal?
Okay.
Doctors work with a range. And while you're in the range, there's nothing that can be done. What you are experiencing is not female balding pattern. This is not what it is. I'm picking up that it's tied, of course, to the stress, but the stress really isn't doing it. I've got thyroid bouncing around.
Yeah.
You're in the part of your life where you feel like you've got some estrogen, progesterone dynamics. You're getting into kind of some changes in your hormones.
Yeah.
That is going to affect your thyroid. But what I'm picking up, I'm not picking up alopecia. We don't have hair follicle inflammation that's causing the hair to fall out, because your falling out feels like it's general. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's all over the place, but it has
yeah.
increased in the last month.
Yes, and that has, of course, to do with the stress, but even more so, sweetie, it has to do with your thyroid.
Okay.
That is the main thing I'm picking up. The stress, it's a chicken and an egg. Did the stress create the thyroid or the thyroid the stress? And then also, if you would like to go to a doctor or go to a gynecologist or go to a naturopath or an integrative medicine doctor, we want to know where you are hormonally.
Yeah,
you
I'm
have an imbalance.
Going, right,
yeah,
I'm actually going tomorrow to the gynecologist.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
So we want to do blood work. Where is your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone? And then that'll give us another baseline. Get as many baseline measurements as you can.
Okay.
And then you can look for ways to be able to work with that. But this is hormone, first of all, it started hormone, thyroid, and then stress. And I'm not sure that a lot of the stress that you can't seem to get rid of in your body probably has to do with the thyroid. And also ask your dermatologist about Hashimoto's, or and I'm not saying you do, but
yeah.
ask about the symptomology of Hashimoto's, because your thyroid goes 110 miles an hour and 2 miles an hour. So it's
yeah.
bouncing back and forth. So ask about that as well.
Okay.
But again, that's what I'm picking up with it. Overall, you're very, very healthy. Yeah, you have a tremendous amount of determination and tenacity about you, don't you?
I do. and others would say so.
And you know what? One of the things that I pick up at you is on you is that you are like a dog on a bone. I love that about you, that, you know, if you put your mind to something, don't anyone get near you. You're going to stay with it. This is, you know, it isn't like the Nemo movie, mind, 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 mind with the selfishness. But this, anytime you get a challenge, whew, you focus and you get going on that. So what do you do, sweetie, for?
I'm actually a counselor.
Okay.
And I work at an electric utility company. And I'm a great lover of justice.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know what? A lot of the energy it is right now, when I talked about out of character, a lot of us that are deer in headlights because we've been dealing with these people, we're trying to figure all this out. We're scratching our heads.
Yes,
there's
absolutely.
A metaphor for hair
yes,
falling
yes,
out.
Yes.
We're
that.
Scratching our heads and all these things. So you can see that there's a lot of metaphors. The one thing that, if I may have permission to go in and to share with you,
mm-hmm.
is look at the people in your life, honey, that you are feeling are betraying you.
Yeah.
And go in and do not allow yourself to betray yourself. I want you to do the same thing that you do for other people, like that dog on a bone, for you. Don't speak poorly about yourself. Don't become irritated about yourself. Step back. Take a deep breath. You do wonderful. You provide a wonderful service to people. Just don't turn on yourself.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, you are so welcome. Well, all of you, thank you for joining me today. It's been a pleasure. Happy holidays to all of you. I'm going to be back next week. It will be a replay. We've chosen some great shows. Happy holidays. We'll be back, as it says in some of the movies. I'll be back in January. Light and love to all of you. I'll see you on the radio back in January, actual live shows. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.